for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, July the 4th, 1993. 4th of July Family Camp Meeting. Teaching and Deliverance Services being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Frank Mazzulla is the teacher of the afternoon.
Well, we've had wonderful praise and worship and teaching already today. So we're going to add to that this afternoon. Brother Frank's going to come and add right on top of what we've been hearing already. And then we're going to help him to set the captives free this afternoon when he gets through teaching. Amen. We're having unusual little problems crop up across the campground today. So Brother Frank, come on up here and pray for all these little problems that's tormenting us, and we believe that they'll come to an end.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Father, let your word be spoken this afternoon, that your will and your work will be done in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And all the people said,
Amen.
I didn't hear it.
Amen.
Look, I heard it. Glory to God. How many still have a little problem they'd like to get rid of?
Oh, wow.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You probably fasted, you prayed, and you still have that little bit of a problem that you need to get victory over it. I'd like you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. What I'm going to talk about this afternoon is found in these two books, Victory Over Demonic Spirits and A Manual for the Deliverance Worker. So if you're taking notes and you miss some of the teaching, grab a hold of these books and you'll find it in there. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we see the children of God, whose king is Jehoshaphat, surrounded by demonic nations, the people of Moab and Ammon. Now, these are the two nations formed when the daughters of Lot tricked the father into sleeping with them. This is the first time incest is mentioned in the Bible. Now, when we command spirits of incest to leave, we also should command the spirit god of the nation of Moabite, of the Moabites and the Ammonites. We should go right back to the source. And the spirit god of Ammon is Milcom, M-I-L-C-O-M. And the spirit of Moab is Chemosh, C-H-E-M-O-S-H. Now, when Jehoshaphat saw this great multitude surrounding Judah, less freed, what did fear cause the king to do? We read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting with verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. What happened when fear came? What happened to the king? He fell down on his knees and started to seek the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
He proclaimed the fast. Amen. Verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you no God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham your friend forever? And they dwelled in it, and built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, If disaster comes upon us, such as the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Now, what was Jehoshaphat doing? He was reminding Father God of the promises of God, of the promises that Father God gave Abraham and the people of Israel. Amen? We come to you because you are our Father. See, family, we are the children of God. Amen?
Amen.
Declare it. Say it out loud. I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
Turn to someone and say, I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
Point to them and say, you are a child of God.
You are a child of God.
Now, we are more than just children of God. We also are royalty.
Yes.
It says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, that we are a nation of kings and priests.
Yes.
Amen? Well, declare it. I'm King Frank. How are you? Come on, declare it. I'm Queen So-and-so. Hello, Queen. How are you? Declare it. See, you have to know who you are. You know, a lot of you have a low self-image. That's right. I can almost point you out. You have to declare, I am a son of the king. I am a king in my own right. And devil, you're not going to fool around with a bunch of kings. Amen? So we have to declare it. My Father is the King of Kings. And I am royalty. And if the devil starts fooling around with royalty, he got a problem. Now, just as Jehoshaphat talked to the Lord, we're going to do the same thing. We have a great enemy, the enemy of our soul, Lucifer, Satan, Slewfoot, the dragon, however you want to call him. He's a great enemy. You know, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable.
Yes. Yeah.
Satan hasn't lost his smarts in all the years. But we do know this, that greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. Amen? So I'm going to lead you in a prayer of reminding Father God of his promises, just as Jehoshaphat did. I want you to repeat this prayer. And also, who we are in Christ.
Yes.
Repeat this. Say, Father God, you said in your word that all that confess Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior
are your children.
We are going to do this right now.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
He died on the cross for my sins.
And the third day rose again from the dead.
I am sorry for all my sins.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me.
For dying on the cross for me.
Amen.
Amen.
See,
because I have declared this, Father God,
I am your child.
Therefore, Father, I have certain rights.
I have the right to come before your throne of grace.
Because you are my Father.
And the enemy is strong.
But greater is Jesus Christ that dwells within me.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
And Father God,
you sent Lord Jesus,
my brother,
to destroy the works of the devil.
And Jesus said to us,
in Mark 16:17,
in my name,
you shall cast out demons.
He also said,
in Luke 10:19,
behold, I give unto you authority
to tread on serpents and scorpions,
and over all the power of the enemy,
and nothing shall by any means hurt me.
Now turn to someone and say, nothing is going to hurt me.
Nothing is
going to
hurt you.
Because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ within me.
The authority that he gave me.
Amen. Now we're going to talk to the devil. It's okay to talk to the devil in the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Because you know who you are. You know the authority of. You can talk to the devil. I want you to say devil.
Devil.
You heard the word of God.
You heard the word of God.
You are a defeated foe.
You are a defeated foe.
You lost the victory.
You lost the victory.
When my brother Jesus,
died
on the cross for my sins, and shed his blood for me.
I have the victory
through Jesus Christ.
Therefore,
you have no right to afflict me or my family,
my loved ones,
Lake Hamilton
Camp,
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Because
my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
I have been bought by the blood of the Lamb.
And Satan,
you and your demons
have to vacate this property,
this temple,
which is the property of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm going to fight you,
Satan,
and all your demons
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, will you please stand?
And say this,
I cover myself with the blood of Jesus from head to toe.
I put a circle around me of the blood of Jesus.
Now, as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ,
I'm putting on the full armor of God.
All right, let's dress up.
I put on the helmet of salvation,
the breastplate of righteousness.
My loins girt about with truth.
My feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Holding the shield of faith.
With which to quench every fiery dart of the enemy.
And wielding the sword of the Spirit.
Which is the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Now we're ready for battle.
Amen.
Now,
please be seated.
Now, who do we start waging war against first?
Against the powers in the heavenlies.
Remember
when Brother Chuck talked about the warfare in the second heaven, in the heavenlies?
We know that our God, our Father, is in the third heaven.
Paul says that he went to the third heaven.
Right?
Well, if there's a third heaven, there has to be a second heaven and a first heaven.
And the heaven that we see, the moon, the sun, the stars, the clouds,
that's the first heaven. Between the first heaven and the third heaven is the second heaven, the realm where Satan directs his warfare.
Amen?
So, Paul said in Ephesians 6:12,
for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Now, when he talked about the heavenly places, he's talking about the heavens in the second heaven, where Satan wages warfare by directing his agents, the principalities and powers, over nations, over cities, over institutions, over Lake Hamilton, over your home, over the place where you work.
Amen?
So what do we do first? We start attacking. Get
at those spirits there in the second heaven.
Okay?
We see an example of this warfare in Daniel chapter 10. If you've never heard this teaching before, it's good to follow and get some of this under your belt. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel was a praying man, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
And he got into trouble because he prayed.
Yes, he did.
Now, he prayed. And we do know that when we pray, God hears our prayer. And the prayer went up to the third heaven. That's where the prayer went, to Father God. And when our prayers go up, Father God dispatches angels to minister to us. Because the angels of the Lord are ministering spirits sent to minister to the saints of God. As it says in Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 1, at the end of chapter 1. So the Lord says, Angel Gabriel, come over here. Did you hear Daniel's prayer? I want you to go down and give him this answer. And so the angel Gabriel went down from the third heaven. As he was coming down through the second heaven, he had a problem. The prince and power of the air above Persia withstood him 21 days. And we read in Daniel chapter 10, starting with verse 11, "And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not be fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." See, as soon as Daniel prayed, now he humbled himself. That means he was in prayer and fasting. And his prayer went right to the third heaven. They were heard immediately. And Father God sent the angel Gabriel in response to his prayer. Verse 13. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left alone there with the kings of Persia." What happened was that when Gabriel was fighting with the princes over Persia, the evil princes, he needed help to fight. And one of the ways we can help, our angels, the angels that are sent to us, ministering spirits, is by prayer, by binding them, by commanding them to be bound and powerless, by pulling them down, by praying in the spirit. See, we have to be involved in spiritual warfare. Amen? And while Gabriel was fighting this battle, Michael, who was Michael? The warrior angel, the fighting angel. Actually, Michael is the guardian angel over Israel. And you can see that in Daniel chapter 12, the first verse. And he came and he helped. And in so doing, the angel Gabriel was released to come and bring the answer to Daniel. All right? So that's a picture of the warfare that's going on in the second heaven all the time. All the time. And oftentimes you wonder, why isn't your prayer answered? Because there's a battle going on up there. That's the time you mustn't stop praying. That's the time you must pray all the more when your prayer isn't being answered. And let until there's a breakthrough. Amen? So we have to keep praying. Amen. So many times, because our prayers are hindered, we have to keep praying and praying. And our prayers will help the angels fight. For example, you in the second heaven, you, the one that the devil has sent to harass my family, the one that the devil has sent to lead my son, my daughter, or whosoever into drugs. I bind your power. I command you to be bound and powerless in the name of Jesus. See, what am I doing? I'm waging warfare against some of the spirits in the second heaven concerning the problem that I'm praying for. Okay? So this is the way you have to wage warfare. And we have to start doing it. I command you to be powerless in the name of Jesus. I bind your power. So, I remember the first time my wife and I were called to go to Colombia, South America. That's a story in itself. But we were called there, and a month before we were called, we started to wage warfare against the spirits that were over the city that we were going to, Cali, Colombia. And we kept binding those spirits, command and rebound at the same time. Down in Cali, Colombia, the church there was also praying and fasting and binding the spirits. And one time, I said, "Lord, what are those spirits over Cali?" And in my mind, I saw four spirits. They were about as tall as a two-story building. They were elongated. I even saw them in color. They were green in color, and they were glaring at me. And I heard the Lord say to me, "Don't fear, for I have given you the victory over them." "But who are they, Lord? What are they?" Because, see, I wanted to get a handle so I can bind their power. He said, "These are the ruling spirits over Cali, called lust, spiritual corruption, spiritualism, and religious error. But they're being made powerless because of the prayers of the saints," the Lord says. So when we went there, we went to a small church. They were meeting in the basement of the Euristi Hotel in downtown Cali, about 150 people. And I started to teach him on spiritual warfare and healing and so forth. And slowly but surely, the Lord started to bind these spirits. The miracles were coming forth, signs and wonders. The lame were walking, the deaf and dumb were being healed and so forth. And before the end of the month, we were there 5 weeks. That place was chock full. They couldn't hold any more people, like sardine styles. About almost 500 people there. Couldn't get any more. See, what happened is that the word got out. The Holy Spirit is moving. We used to have one section that had about 50 Catholics just there, including priest and nun. They were over there to listen. And they wrote an article about me. They called me a super spiritualist. Well, that was their, you know, their custom. Because you see, a lot of those people, they couldn't afford a doctor. They would go to the local spiritualist to get healed. And I told them, no, I work in the power of the Holy Spirit, God. Amen. Amen. But we had to wage spiritual warfare first. And the Lord produced the victory. Now I want us to stand again. All stand, okay? And I want you to repeat this again, this prayer. We're going to go into spiritual warfare against the spirits in the second heaven. I want you to say this. In the name of Jesus, we direct our prayers against the controlling spirits over Lake Hamilton, over Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Over Hot Springs, Arkansas.
All right. Over my city. Name your city. Over your church. That's right. Over your home. Just say, over my home. Over the place where I work. And especially I come against
those spirits that are
hindering my family. Now, if you have any loved ones that are being hindered, start naming them. That's it. Start naming them. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we bind every evil spirit. Spirits of drugs, alcohol, tobacco, fornication, adultery, occultism. And name some of the spirits that you're fighting. Just name them. Infirmities, what is it? Whatever it is. Name the kind of infirmity. We bind these spirits. We command them to be bound and powerless. We pull them down in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We bind the spirits of divorce. We bind the spirits of poverty. We bind the spirits of divination and all kindred spirits in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, now please be seated. Amen. You see, family, we have to wage spiritual warfare in order to get the victory. Not only concerned about ourselves, we have to be concerned about our brothers and sisters. We have to be concerned about our city, our nation. Amen? We have to come against the spirit of abortion, the spirit of Molech, the spirit of Baal, the ancient Babylonian spirit that caused child sacrifice. We have to come against these spirits that are over our nation. Because those are the spirits that are over the United States. Amen? So we have to fight them. And because you see, family, when we start, we have to warn the people about reading horoscopes, about going into all this kind of occultism. When I just came back from Italy, my wife and I just came back from Italy, and we were ministering to 2,000 Catholics in a tent meeting. And one of the things I said, how many here have read horoscopes? And almost everybody raised their hands. I said, you have committed spiritual adultery. Have you ever confessed that to your priest when you went to confession? None of you, I believe, have ever confessed that. And that is worse than physical adultery. Spiritual adultery is an abomination unto the Lord. He hates it with a passion because you went to another god. You've gone to a fortune teller. It's an abomination. Doing anything in the occult, God hates it with a passion. He's a jealous God. My name is jealous, he says. Amen? And so I was teaching them these things, and then I said, now, I led them all into confessing it as sin. Now, I just want you to picture.
Here's a layman going into a Catholic atmosphere, 2,000 Catholics, and I'm leading them all into confessing sin and repenting and asking God to forgive them. And the priest was agreeing with me. He knew what I was going to say. I had told him a little bit before what I was going to do. And then I led them all into confessing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I said, "Have many of you ever said that publicly for the first time?" And almost all of them raised their hands. The Holy Spirit came in that group. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit came in. Glory to God. And afterwards, we had several nuns and priests that came over, and they wanted to be prayed for. They wanted to know the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What gifts do you think the Lord has given me? And the Lord would give me prophecy, would give me word of knowledge, and I would pray for them. And I said, "Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah." I went in a circle. I used to be a Catholic one time. And here I am back into praying for Catholics. I get glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I had them to renounce their involvement in occultism. Because I told them, "Now, you may have renounced it, but renouncing and casting out is two different things." Amen. Now listen, family. Some of you may have renounced your involvement into any form of occultism or sin, but renouncing and casting out is two different things.
Yes.
Jesus cast out.
Amen.
Amen? And you have to cast it out. It has to be cast out in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Jesus gave us not only a word of prophecy, but a command. He said in Mark 16:17, "These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name," what's the first sign? "Cast out demons." And this is what I was telling these Catholics there. I was saying, "Now, this is right in your Bible." Excuse me. Many have read it, and none of them bring their Bibles. Very few. And I would appreciate a glass of water if somebody would bring it for me. And so I told them, "You have to live in that scripture. If you're a believer, then you should start casting out demons. You start speaking in new tongues." And then I said, "You shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover." God will honor that scripture. But you have to want it. You have to live in it. You have to believe it. I had a wonderful time there. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. See, family, if you're a believer, you're going to do what Jesus did. He cast out demons. He prayed for the sick. And then signs and wonders followed him wherever he went.
Yes.
Signs and wonders followed him wherever he went. You see, family, this is something that, well, 25, 26 years ago, I never believed I would be involved in this. I used to be a pastry chef, a baker. Mm-hmm. Never went to seminary. The Bible is my seminary. I met Brother Miller at the Tennessee Georgia Christian camp. I used to go there on my vacation. That was my seminary. I learned there. I went there for almost, my wife and I, and we went there for almost 10 years running, learning from men of God, from Derek Prince, Don Basham, Bob Mumford, from all these great men of God. That's what I learned. And I would just, you know, like a sponge, just take it in. Because I wanted something within me desired it. And I just kept reading and studying and listening. And slowly but surely, I became a counselor in the camp. And then from then on, I started to teach a little. Baptize people in water. I started to do all these things. You see, I'm a product of on-the-job training.
Amen.
That's right. On-the-job training. I made mistakes. You wouldn't believe the mistakes I made. I remember the time that we were ministering to this woman. She was stubborn. I mean, she was stubborn. And we couldn't seem to get the first base. And so my wife said, "Well, Frank, I'll take that spirit in me. You can cast it out of me. I'm willing." Biggest mistake that we ever did. All of a sudden, I had two stubborn women on my hand. I not only had that woman, I had my wife. And I was trying to get that spirit out. I wasn't, you know, it's funny that when you look at it, we were living in a small house in Miami, and I used to have church in my home, and I was trying to get the spirit out of mine. She kept getting away from me, and she crawled under the the little baby grand that we have. And I crawled in after her with the Bible in my hand, trying to put the Bible on her back as if that would cast out that demon. And I picture this in your mind. Crazy. But finally it got out. Then the Lord said to me, don't ever do it again. You see, as soon as you say, I'll take that spirit, that spirit comes in. There's a lot of error in deliverance. We had to learn some of the things the hard way by making mistakes. Amen?
Amen.
So thank you, Lord. We learned it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So I got off my subject. Praise the Lord. See, if you are a child of God, these signs shall follow. And we find that some of the greatest miracles we've seen after deliverance. I remember that woman in Italy, born blind, 30 years old, came in and sat in the chair where we were sitting in a small town called Sansepolcro. And now again, these are all Roman Catholics. She sat down and totally blind. She wanted her prayers for healing. And the word that came to me was syphilis. Now that's a hard word. But okay, Lord, you know, I said it. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit of syphilis. I command it to go. Do you know that Italian spirits understand English? And I bound our spirit and commanded it to leave. They were talking back to me. I said, shut up and come out. You know, Jesus said, be still and come out.
Amen.
Amen? And I said, shut up and come out. And then after we commanded that to go, then I prayed for healing. And all of a sudden she got up and started to walk all by herself. Her mother fainted. The interpreter and I, we just fell in each other's arms, crying and weeping for the first time in her life. I mean, 30 years old. You know, when you see that, boy, I get goosebumps over just thinking about it. But see, what happened was after deliverance. Those spirits, there are some spirits that just control. I had to learn that the hard way. I prayed for a woman that was deaf one time. She was healed. 3 weeks later, her husband called me and said, my wife is deaf again. I said, put her on the phone. And over the phone, I prayed for her, and she heard again. 3 days later, again, the husband called. She can't hear anymore. I didn't know I had to bind that spirit of deafness, command it to go. I didn't know that. I heard Don Basham teach on this one time. And I said, oh, that's why what happened. That's why she lost that healing. See, that's the way I learned. I learned by doing things, by making mistakes. But praise God, I'm learning. I'm still learning.
Amen.
You know, I was listening to Dr. Nunn this morning, and I, praise God, I said, I heard something different today. A little bit. So I'll always listen. I'm only 26 years old, but I figure that I'll keep learning. Amen. And I'm learning more and more as I go along. Praise the Lord. And now, one of the things that I want to talk about is how do demons come into us? And some of you have had this teaching before, but I believe mainly true because of disobedience to the Word of God. Rebellion to the Word of God. Sin opens the door for many demons to enter. And some of the things that we do, we don't recognize as sin. It says in Ephesians, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your anger, nor give place to the devil. Or you can give place to the devil.
Amen.
If you don't do something about that anger. In other words, if I got angry with my wife for some reason or other, and I started to talk to her and say, now listen, Evelyn, I want you to obey me. I'm the priest of the house, you understand? You just obey me. When I tell you to jump, you just say, how high? Carson. Before she hits me over the head with a Bible or something. But you see, what happens is I can get angry. My pride could hold that anger in. And if I go to sleep holding that anger, I disobeyed the Word of God. And I can give place to the devil. Spirit of anger could come by and say, Frank is doing my thing. I think I'll join him. And from that time, I can't help it. I not only get angry, I lose my temper, I blow my top. I can get real nasty because the demon is working in me now. Amen? We have found out one of the main source of not receiving healing is unforgiveness. I've written a booklet on it. I remember this woman that came for prayers. She had pain in her body. I mean, she couldn't even walk. She was just dragging her foot. I said, "Where's the pain?" She said, "Oh, I can't stand it. I can't sit down. I can't stand up. I don't know what to do." And I said, "Well, try sitting down. Just so to get her in the chair. I wanted to measure her legs. Then the words of knowledge came to me and it said, she hates her husband. And I said, the woman, I said, "Sister, you have to forgive your husband." She said, "Well, you don't know what he did to me." I said, "Well, the Lord really hit the nail on the head that time when she said that." I said, "Regardless of what he did, you have to forgive." And, you know, she was talking to me, and as she was talking, she fell off that chair, and she fell to the floor, absolutely writhing in pain. I said, "Sister, you have a root of bitterness in you, and unless you forgive, you'll have that, and you won't get rid of that pain." Finally, she forgave. And then we commanded all those spirits out and prayed for healing. And she got up from that floor, not a bit of pain in her. Not only that, but she took off her glasses. She said, "I can see without my glasses." Glory to God. She was healed. And all of a sudden, the spirit of envy came upon me. I wanted to see without my glasses, too. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you see, unforgiveness opens the door. You have to forgive. But now, when a spirit comes in, family, I want you to notice, when a spirit comes in, it brings all its family in with him. If a spirit comes in, it doesn't come in alone. A spirit of anger will bring in temper, rage, violence, could bring in murder. A spirit of unforgiveness could bring in resentment, bitterness, envy, jealousy, retaliation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we have to be careful not opening the door when spirits come in, because they don't come in alone. All right? For instance, the spirit of loneliness will bring in despair, hopelessness, discouragement, even suicide, spirit of death. Now, how do spirits come out? Now, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 1. Most of you already know this, but for the people that are new, Mark chapter 1 and verse 23. "Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet, and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, it came out of him." One of the things that is asked me, I mean, one of the questions that is thrown at me, no matter where I go, in South America and in Europe, is how could a Christian be demonized? And another question is, where does it say in the Bible that evil spirits come out on the breath? And I said, well, that scripture just there. I just read it. Verse 26. "And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him." I said, it's right in there. He said, well, I don't see it. I said, I want you to utter a loud voice without using your breath. You can't utter a loud voice without using your breath. Hey! That's a loud voice, isn't it? I gave out a lot of breath. I said, that's the way they come out, on the breath. Whether it's crying with the breath, yelling, screaming, coughing, burping, sneezing, whatever it is, they come out that way. But we're not going to tolerate that here. We have the authority in the name of Jesus. We're going to tell them to come out quietly and in divine order. We have the authority. We read that scripture in Luke 10:19. We have been given the authority to step on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And we're commanding them to come out quietly. Amen. On the breath. Whatever comes natural. Coughing, burping, sneezing, crying, yawning. Amen. Notice, it says that there was a demon in the synagogue, in church. There was a demon in the church. If people come to church, demons come with them. Isn't that right? But not you people. You've been cast, all the demons have been cast out of you. In deliverance, a person's will is very much involved. You must will to be deliverance and cooperate actively and forcibly in commanding them out. Your will is important. God doesn't go against your will, and the devil recognizes this. And he uses your will. And there must be no compromising with demons. You must want them all out. I've had a man that came in with a spirit of fear. He wanted me to cast out the spirit of fear. And in talking with him, I found out that he was living in an adulterous situation. He left his wife and was living with another woman. I said, brother, you're in sin. And that situation becomes a bridge whereby all the demons that we cast out will come back. And I said, and then I read that scripture in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, where an unclean spirit goes out of a person, going in dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He said, I will return to my former house in which I lived. And he brings with him seven other spirits, and the latter state of that person is worse than the first. I said, I'm doing you a favor, not delivering you, unless you're willing to pay the price for the pearl of great price. You have to give up everything for Jesus. That means you get out of that sin. Amen? And, you know, some people don't want to give up smoking, don't want to give up drinking. You know, they hide that pornography book under the mattress because, you know, that's their little security blanket. They don't want anybody. That becomes the bridge. Are you hearing me? Or they keep a bottle hidden in the corner someplace where nobody knows about it. And that becomes the bridge. I remember one man called me from across the state. I now live in DeLand, Florida. That's almost near Daytona Beach. And he was a homosexual. And he told me about his habits. I said, where do you go to pick up these men? Well, he says, I go to this department store in the men's room, and I just hang around there. I said, well, avoid that place like it had a plague. Don't go there anymore. Avoid it. I had cast out the demons. I had, you know, ministered deliverance to him. But 3 months later, he called me again, and he said, I fell again. I said, if you avoided that place, I find it hard not to. I said, brother, you have to stay away from these places. So, to make a long story short, I delivered him again. The third time he called me up, same thing. I said, brother, I can't help you. You have to use your will, too. I will not be a God unto you. Did you hear that?
Amen.
I don't know about other deliverance ministers, but if I tell them what to do and they don't want to do it, they don't want to read the book. In other words, I tell people, read my book or Frank Hammond's book or, you know, some book. Get the knowledge in you. Get the knowledge of how to keep your healing, your deliverance. Have you read my book? The last chapter of 8 Keys to Spiritual and Physical Health tells you 15 steps on how to keep your deliverance and your healing. Have you read it? No. Well, brother, until you read it, don't bother me. You mean you're that rough? Well, I want obedience. I'm trying to teach you. If you're not going to obey, nothing in the world will be able to keep you from not going back to doing to your own vomit. Amen? So, praise the Lord. In mass deliverance, we encourage everyone to say the same thing at the same time. This is for your own protection so that nobody knows what's coming out of who. So we all say the same thing. You know, a person might say, well, I don't have that spirit you're calling out. I say to call it out anyway. It might be dormant, waiting for the devil to quicken it. See, I tell people to cooperate. It's like preventative medicine. You take it just in case the problem is here. And some spirits come in while you are a very young child. Some of them stay dormant until latter years, until the devil activates them. Did you ever see a child that's over imaginative? Did you ever see they're playing like they have a playmate, and they open the door and. And anybody has a child that's over-imaginative? It's possible they have a familiar spirit. And that spirit could be quickened later on in life and cause a great deal of problem. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Now, what we're going to do right now, we're going to start breaking some domination bondages and so forth. I want you to say this prayer. In the name of Jesus, I now renounce, break, and loose myself from all demonic subjection to my father, mother, grandparents, or any other human being, living or dead, that has dominated me in any way. And I command out of me every spirit of domination, control, manipulation, Jezebel, Ahab, and all kindred spirits. In the name of Jesus. Everybody take a deep breath and let it out. That's it. Again, take a deep breath and let it out. Amen. Very good. Amen. I tell people every once in a while, take an experimental cough. You may cough voluntarily for a while, but you may end up coughing involuntarily. Amen? Do what comes naturally. Okay? Here's another prayer. Say, in the name of Jesus, I now renounce, break, and loose myself and my children from all psychic powers or bondages of physical or mental illness put upon me or my family line as a result of parents or any other ancestors' involvement in the occult. I now command out of me all spirits of psychic power, mental disorders, schizophrenia, paranoia, double-mindedness, senility, madness, insanity, and all kindred spirits. All right, take a deep breath. Out in the name of Jesus. Again, take a deep breath. Out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say this prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce, break, and loose myself and my children from any and all evil curses. Curses that I inherited as far back as the 10th generation. All the way back to the country of my origin. I break the power of these curses in the name of Jesus. I command the spirits that entered me and my bloodline through these curses to leave me now in the name of Jesus. I command away from me all curses of voodoo, of infirmity, curses of poverty, curses of witchcraft, sorcery, jinxes, spells, hexes, and all like spirits. In the name of Jesus. All right, take a deep breath and let it out. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some of our ancestors, especially those of a minority race, that is black, brown, red, or yellow, have been abused and even put into slavery. It's possible that there could be resentment, bitterness, or even hatred in our bloodline toward those who hurt our ancestors. Amen? We have to forgive those who did this to us. So let us say this prayer. Lord, I confess that my ancestors had hate in their heart for the people that mistreated them, that sold them into slavery, that kept them as second-class citizens and in poverty. Lord, I forgive them. And I ask you to forgive my ancestors for hating them. I ask this in Jesus' name. I command out of my bloodline any curse that came in because of my ancestor's sin. whether it was a sin of resentment or any other sin, in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Now let it out. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay? A personal prayer of forgiveness. Let's say this. Lord, I confess that I've been hurt by people during my life. I forgive them all, Father. Even the ones I cannot now remember. And I forgive myself for what I did to myself and what I did to others. Forgive me, Father, for cursing people, for bad-mouthing them, and for murmuring against those in authority. I command out of me every spirit of resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, root of bitterness, hatred, revenge, retaliation, envy, murmuring, and all kindred spirits. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Now let it out. That's it. Take a deep breath. Out. All murmuring. Out. In Jesus' name. Now, sometimes a curse comes into a marriage because of fornication before marriage. A couple decide to indulge in fornication since they're going to be married soon. Then they stand before a minister and ask God to bless the union initiated in sin. Unless they ask forgiveness before they take their vows, there could be a curse on that union. Now, don't make a doctrine out of them. There could be a curse on that union. Amen? That union that was conceived in sin. This could bring on barrenness, infirmities in the children, divorce, separation, because the marriage was conceived in sin. Okay? This might touch some of you people. The couple must repent of their sin and ask the Lord to forgive them. Now, I'm going to leave you in a prayer on this. I want everyone to say it, whether you're involved in it or not, just for the protection of those that were. Say, I break the power
of any curse
that entered me through my sin of fornication before marriage. And I command all spirits to leave me in the name of Jesus. All right, take a deep breath. Now let it out. Out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now here's another one that people don't think about. Sometimes a married couple have intercourse during the woman's menstrual period. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 18 says, if a man lies with a woman during her sickness and uncovers her nakedness, he has discovered her flow, and she has uncovered the flow of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from their people. Now, any time the Lord says in His Word, thou shalt not do this, or this is an abomination, well, there's a curse connected with it if you do. Nobody says amen?
Amen.
Okay? Again, we're going to... And see, this sin can cause many physical problems, such as cancer in the male or female organs, tumors, cysts, prostate problems, even retardation. So, again... Let's ask the Lord to forgive us. Say, Lord, forgive me.
For involving myself in this sin.
I now command out of me the spirit that entered me, that entered my bloodline. Now take a deep breath. Now let it out. Amen. Take it all out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just say, Lord Jesus, let your healing love not come into me.
Lord Jesus, let your healing love.
Amen. Amen. Since we're talking about intercourse and sexual sins, let's deal with the problem right now. Say,
in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
every spirit of lust,
fantasy lust,
perversion,
fornication,
adultery,
masturbation,
oral sex,
sodomy,
incest,
rape,
homosexual,
lesbian,
anal sex, sex with animals,
sex with,
sex with spirits,
sex with spirits,
pornography,
pornography,
lust of the eyes,
of the eyes,
prostitution,
prostitution,
whoredom,
whoredom,
abortion,
abortion,
and all unclean sexual spirits,
and all unclean sexual spirits,
in the name of Jesus. All right, take a deep breath. Now let it out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Again, take a deep breath. Now let it out in the name of Jesus. Now, we're not going to cover everything in the realm of deliverance in the one session. We're going to do it as other speakers come in and guide you. But we're going to take some of the major spirits now. I know that some of you already have been dealt with fear, but I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. In Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 3. Who has an old King James? An old King James Bible? Somebody? Okay. I want you to, the last part of verse 3, where it says, "The Lord has not called your name Pashur, but Magor Misabib." Do you see that, brother? In the margin, what does Magor Misabib mean? Fear on every side. I consider Magor Misabib a principality of fear. Fear all around, all kinds of fear. Fear round about, all every side. Amen? Some of you don't have that written in your Bible. So I would suggest that you write in right now, underline Magor Misabib, and put next to it, fear on every side. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 3, the last part of verse 3. Write, underline Magor Misabib, and write down fear on every side. Okay, let's say this together now. Okay, brother, thank you. Let's say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I renounce the spirit of fear.
I renounce the spirit of fear.
Especially the fear of.
Especially the fear of.
Now name your particular kind of fear. What is it that you're afraid of? Whatever it is, afraid of driving, afraid of lightning, afraid of thunder, afraid of heights, afraid of your husband, afraid of your wife. What is it that you're afraid of? Name it. Okay? And if you have a child near you, ask them to name what they're afraid of the darkness, afraid of the boogeyman, whatever it is that they're afraid of. Afraid of being molested, afraid, whatever the fear is. Okay? And then say, I also command the spirit of Magor Misabib,
I also command the spirit of Magor Misabib,
to leave me
in the name of Jesus.
Because God did not give me a spirit of fear,
but gave me a spirit of love and power
and sound mind.
And I
command
all these spirits of fear
to leave me now
in the name of Jesus.
All right, take a deep breath. Now let it out. Out in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Now let it out. All fear, go in Jesus' name. Fright, terror, trembling, all kinds of fear, go in the name of Jesus. Dread, all out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to tackle some spirits of occultism right now. Okay? Now, some of you that have been involved in occultism, like playing with a Ouija board, palmistry, handwriting analysis, automatic handwriting, ESP, hypnotism, horoscopes, their signs, in the name of Jesus Christ, divination, fortune-telling of all kinds, levitation, some of the spirits that we don't often talk about. Some of you, when you were young, dressed up at Halloween as a witch or as a goblin or something. In doing so, you could have invited a spirit.
Yeah.
You see, you portrayed a devil's head or a witch or something. And so that spirit could be with you and in you. How many have dressed up like that when you were kids? Oh, almost all of you. Okay. Let's come against it. And of course, we also have to command Santa Claus spirits out. Santa Claus is an idol. You know that, don't you? He goes around
just found that out, huh? He goes around the world, and one day he knows who's sleeping, he knows who's awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. He's an idol. Okay? And if you have any little statues or pictures of Santa Claus that you put out on Christmas on your door, forget it. You're going to forget it? Okay. Amen. All right. Let's come against them. Now, this is all occultism, in the realm of occultism. Say, in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
all spirits of occultism. The spirits that came into me when I played with a Ouija board.
When I was involved in divination.
Automatic handwriting. ESP. Hypnotism. Self-hypnosis. Horoscopes. And especially my sign. Name your sign. I command these spirits to leave me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Now let it out. Out in the name of Jesus. Again, take a deep breath. Now all out in Jesus' name. Say, I command out of me all spirits of levitation, divination, water witching. Did you know that that's a spirit too? Water witching? How many didn't know it? Or a couple of you, raise your hand. Yeah, dousing for waters. Water witching. Why do they call it water witching? Say, I command these spirits. And also the spirits of black magic. White magic. Fetishes. Transcendental meditation. Numerology.
Santa Claus spirits.
Halloween spirits. Easter spirits. Valentine. And all other occult spirits. To leave me now in the name of Jesus.
Alright,
take a deep breath. Cough it out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, that's it. Praise God. Amen. Now, sometimes spirits will dwell in parts of your body. I heard the doctor call out Kundalini this afternoon. And many never heard of the spirit of Kundalini. Amen. The spirit that attached to the spine and sometimes goes around your stomach in that area. And oftentimes when people have been involved in occultism, some spirits rest in the various parts of your body. I have called out spirits in the female organs, in the male organs, and I command the spirits that nest there to loose their hold on one another. They hold each other for strength, so they won't come out. I command them. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. I command every spirit that is in your male organs, in your female organs, in your prostrate area, I command them to loose their hold on one another. I command them to let go and to come out now in the name of Jesus. Come all the way up. Come on up. All the way up. Come on up. Up, 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 up into your throat and out of your mouth. Take a deep breath. Now let it out. Out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. This is why some people have cysts in those areas. Because the spirits are the ones that brought them. Is that right, doctor? Some of them. You didn't know about that, but now you see, now you learned something. But we have to command. There are some times that some people have such great pain in their organs that they just stiffen up. They're crying, writhing with pain. I had a young boy I was ministering to in Guatemala. He had great pain in his male organs, and he could hardly walk. I commanded a spirit to be bound and powerless, and he fell down. And when he fell down, I looked at his eyes, and his eyes were rolling up in his forehead. All I can see was the whites of the eyes. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that warlock spirit that's in its male organs. I bind its power in the name of Jesus.
And he started to scream, and finally that came out of him. And as soon as that came out, the pain left his male organs. It was right there. Lord showed me where it was. Nestled there. Amen? They hide in various parts of the body. In my manual, the last part of it, I go from head to toe, commanding the spirits that cause various things in various parts of the body. In other words, for instance, I go from head to toe, the final checkup I call it, the Alzheimer, phobias, senility, hallucinations, mind binding, and so forth. We command those out. And if we have time, we'll do it another time. Amen. That takes a long time to do all that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen? Let's see, we were commanding occult spirits out. And also, we're going to command the spirits of cults out. Cults. You know what a cult is? Any religion or organization that does not believe that the only way to the Father is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jehovah Witness. Christian Science, Unity, Theosophy, Mormonism, Moonies, Masonic Order, Hare Krishnas, any aspect of the New Age movement. Okay, now let's say this. In the name of Jesus, I command out of me the spirit that came into me when I joined. Now name the cult that you were involved in. Whatever it was. I command these spirits to be bound and powerless and out of me in the name of Jesus. All right, take a deep breath. Now let it out. Out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? Now let's command the spirits of infirmity out. That's the last one we're going to do. Spirits of infirmity. Say, in the name of Jesus. I command out of me all spirits of infirmity, especially. Now name your particular infirmity. Whatever it is that the doctor diagnosed you to have or you think you have, just name it. Arthritis, bursitis, high blood pressure, glaucoma, cataracts, emphysema. Just name it. Just name it as a spirit. Diabetes. Tumors, cysts, growths. Say, I command these spirits of infirmity to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. All right, take a deep breath. Now let it out. Out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's a good one. That came out good, didn't it? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Will you please stand? I want you to say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Spirit of the living God.
Please come into me.
With all that you are.
With your love.
Your joy.
Your peace.
Your gentleness.
Your kindness.
Your patience.
And take the place
of these evil spirits
that have been commanded out
in Jesus' name.
We cast them out of this sanctuary,
off this campground,
not to follow me home,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.